Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank God for you as well. We thank God more for sinners because I am an evangelist. My main concern is for the world. My main burden is for sinners. Yes, I think I love sinners more than I love saints, but that's all right. I will minister to you as well. But we do thank God for pastors. Their main focus is to feed the sheep, those who are saved. Be that as it may, welcome to the Covenant and the Cross podcast. This is episode number 105. I am your host, Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. We always like to start out with the Word of God, and we should, particularly with a podcast like this. And today's passage of Holy Scripture is from Joshua chapter 5, verse 2, which reads, "At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, Make thee sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time." Regarding this passage, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown wrote in their commentary on the encampment being made after the passage, "The Lord said unto Joshua, Collect stone knives and make them ready." Flints have been used in the early times of all people, and although the use of iron was known to the Hebrews in the days of Joshua, probably the want of a sufficient number of metallic implements dictated the employment of flints on this occasion. The text reads literally, "Return and circumcise." The command did not require him to repeat the operation on those who had undergone it, but to resume the observance of the rite which had been long discontinued. The language, however, evidently points to a general circumcising on some previous occasion, which, though unrecorded, must have been made before the celebration of the Passover at Sinai, as a mixed multitude accompanied the camp. The second time of general circumcising was at the entrance into Canaan. Today's Covenant and Cross quote about the Bible, the Word of God, is from Dr. Billy Graham, who is now home with the Lord, having served several generations. He said, "I've read the last page of the Bible. Is all going to turn out all right?" Our Covenant and Cross topic for today is titled "Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho and Hazor 2, Part 10, from the book The Promise and the Blessing by Dr. Michael A. Harbin of Dallas Theological Seminary. Following these victories, Jabin, the king of Hazor, decided it was time to act and developed an alliance among the remaining forces in the region. These forces gathered at a location called the Waters of Merom. The exact location of this site is not known now, But given the use of chariots, the Jezreel Valley is very likely. This area would also make sense in terms of tactics, since the goal was to destroy the Israelite camp at Gilgal in the Jordan River Valley. However, the Israelites were able to attack the Canaanites first, and they scored a decisive victory. Joshua's troops then pursued fleeing Canaanites as far as the Zidon area, about 70 to 100 kilometers, depending on the location of Merom. Hazor, the major city, was burned, and the rest of the cities captured. With the conclusion of this campaign, the Israelites now had control of the land God had promised, as described in Joshua 12. The entire campaign appears to have taken about 5 years. For according to Joshua 14:10, Caleb observed that it had been 45 years since he had performed his reconnaissance at Kadesh Barnea. Even after these successes, however, many Canaanites were still living in the land. When we get into the period of the judges, we will see that God had several reasons for allowing this situation. First, the population of the Israelites was not large enough to completely resettle the land from the tribes they were displacing. Second, the delay would be a test of the faith and faithfulness of subsequent generations. A third reason was to allow the people who had participated in the conquest to this point the opportunity to enjoy the land they had conquered, of course, by the power of God. Another possibility, although it is never overtly expressed, may have been to allow the Canaanites an opportunity to turn to Israel's God and to become part of that people, like the Gibeonites. If the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue this topic in our next podcast. Let's pray. Holy Father God, help us to learn from your people who lived and who died, who fought, and who loved, and who sinned, and who sought forgiveness, who made mistakes and did great exploits as well, just like we are living today. Help us to learn from them. Help us to be inspired by them. Help us to confess sin like them. Help us to repent. Help us to learn obedience through the things we suffer like them, and help us to be the better for it. For your glory, praise, and honor on this side of the cross of Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.